Welcome to Workshop Wednesdays with Tony Gambone, where you will learn how to build your business and take it to the next level. Brought to you by the Tough Talk Radio Network. Now here's your host, Tony Gambone.
All right, welcome to the show. My name is Tony Gambone, and hey folks, it's Wednesday, right? It's hump day. And at this time of the day, hopefully we're making our way up the hump to get over that hump of the week. Short week this week. We had Labor Day, and I don't know if anyone's ever really took the time to look up what Labor Day is all about. I read a few articles this week, and it was kind of cool looking back to, the part that unions played and how people worked so hard back in, I guess, my father's generation to get us to where we are today and how the world's shifting and going another direction. But, hey, that's probably another show in itself. There's a lot of things that go on in our world that we could do shows on forever. And, that's just for another show. Workshop Wednesday is a business radio show. We have been broadcasting now this show for, I think, almost 4 years. Had some great successes and had some incredible guests, just like today, two of my favorite people, Jenna Beatty and Lori Burton. Two ladies that are going to bring some information to people that is going to allow them to better communicate their process. So what does that mean? As an entrepreneur, a solopreneur, a business owner, a parent, an employee, an executive, a volunteer in the community, we're always trying to communicate something, okay? Whether it's our opinion, what we want to help do, what we agree with, disagree with, we're always trying to communicate something. If you're a business owner, you're trying to communicate the special services that you provide or how special your organization is. If you're an executive, you're trying to communicate down the ladder. And if you're an employee, you're trying to communicate up the ladder. But at the end of the day, how well do you communicate? My first guest is going to talk about that today. I'm really excited about that because, she's just one of my favorite people here in Texas. My second guest is also going to be talking about some things that's going to help people better present themselves, okay? She has a book called Presenting You. So let me just tell you about my week so far because I know you're just dying to hear about it, okay? We had a long weekend, Labor Day. We weren't supposed to work on Labor Day. Well, Monday is a work day for me because I have shows and I have to produce shows. And, clients want to get their money's worth. So I worked on Labor Day. Not all day, just a short period of time. But I did take some time off over the weekend so I could compensate for Monday. You're a business owner. What do you do now that, you're back into the fourth quarter of the season, right? I mean, I wrote an article in my newsletter that talked about a business is kind of like the NFL football game, right? The coach goes out there, there's four quarters. The first quarter, you're just trying to see how the game plan is going to work out from the beginning. Second quarter, you make some adjustments. Halftime, you watch the entertainment. Third quarter, you start getting serious. And in the fourth quarter, you got to really put it to test and get done what you need to get done so you can prove why you need to be in business next year. So in the football game, the fourth quarter determines the winner of the game. Now, look, folks, just because you're in business and you didn't win the first year or the second year, it's not necessarily a problem. It's just something you need to reevaluate. But in our business, we go through the first quarter of the year with a big plan. The second quarter of the year, we're still looking at the big plan. Third quarter of the year, that's summertime. Kids are out of school. We kind of take it easy a little bit because, hey, don't we deserve it? We took the time to write a plan and look at the plan, and now it's time to take care of the children. We have all these great reasons, okay? And the fourth quarter shows up, and we have that, I really am not doing what I thought I was going to do. I'm getting kind of scared. I'm running out of money, and it didn't go the way I planned. Well, it's really easy to understand that because I think a lot of us swim in them waters, myself included. And the thing of it is in the beginning of the year, we're really excited and ready to go, and after the first 3 months of the year, you know, we might have had a couple calls. We got a little practice going in, and, you know, maybe you're converting, you know, calls into sales. Then we sort of lay down a little bit. We take it easy because, hey, we're making some money. Not thinking that you need to do that every year, every day, every month, every quarter. You know, I often refer to a book that one of my guests wrote, a gentleman by the name of, Brian Moran. It's called The 12-Week Year. I don't know if you ever had time to take a look at that book, but check it out. He talks about how you should treat every quarter like it's the last quarter of the year. You would do 3 to 4 times as much business. Well, that sounds great. You know, Tony, good book to read. I'll see if I have time and, you know, look it up. But here's the deal. When you look at September, you're coming into the end of the third quarter. You're coming into the beginning of the fourth quarter of the year. What have you accomplished? Have you looked back at your plan? Have you reevaluated? I mean, I know you know it's in your office somewhere, but do you know where it is? Is it out where you can see it? Have you adjusted it? Have you thought what would be better or worse? Are you even on the same plan? Did you change services or products? All that's legit. They're great questions. But if you're not journaling it, if you're not keeping track of it, how are you sure how it's going to end up? Because, you know, having these great ideas and these dreams, it's awesome. I mean, I love being passionate about what I do. I love doing radio. But the fact of the matter is, at the end of the year, I got to figure out how my time was compensated so I can adjust that idea for the next year. Was it compensated? Was a money-making opportunity? Do I make enough money in another area where I can just do radio because it's fun? No. I wish. So I have to really focus on things and make sure that I am benefiting from the steps I'm taking during my daily day. Now, you know, it always comes down to the phone call, those calls you got to make every day. Now, I don't know about you, but I struggle with that. I don't mind talking to anybody. I love to talk, right? But when I got to call someone and ask them for business, sometimes it gets a little crazy. Just the thought of, well, I got to make 10 calls today to convert one sale this month, and I want to increase my sales by this much, so I got to do this many calls a week and this many calls a month. Well, my head hurts because I'm like, wow, I got to make 100 phone calls. Oh my goodness, I don't want to do that. Nobody wants to make 100 phone calls. But one day I was having a meeting with someone, and they said, hey, how about looking at it like just making as many calls as you can in 15 minutes to set up appointments for phone calls? That way it's not a cold call. It's not an overwhelming thought. And it's an opportunity for you to get through your day what only happened to be on the phone for 15 minutes. And when things start working out, your whole body, your whole mental attitude, your whole way, your energy, everything shifts. So it allows you to then make better selections during your day. So I hear people say, well, I can only make calls in the afternoon because I'm on the East Coast or because of the West Coast. I can only make calls in the morning because of the East Coast. I can only make calls at lunchtime because of the Central, the Central Standard Time. I'm like, that's a bunch of great excuses. But the reality is, what part of your day do you have blocked out to make 15 minutes worth of calls? I'm going to use myself as an example. Different times of the day, just depends on what day I'm on. The fact is, you got to make those calls. So here we are, folks. We're coming into October. We are going to be heading into the last quarter of the year. If you're a business owner, you should have some facts and figures on what your business has done. You should have some ideas of what you don't want to do next year and what you want to try to do next year. You have to really communicate to someone, especially yourself, what it is you're doing right or wrong. Maybe you need to get a business coach. Maybe you need to get an accountability coach. Maybe you need to get a life coach. Maybe you just need to get a job. Not sure. The fact of the matter is, are you sure? So try to figure out what you're doing, and if you're on path to finish correctly, do you have a chance to win the game in the fourth quarter? I don't know. You tell me. Call into the show, 347-989-1363. Press 1 if you have a question and you want to talk to the guest or to me. You can email me, Tony, at TonyGambone.com. You can go to TuffTalkRadioNetwork.com. You can go to Facebook and click on Tough Talk Radio or Tony Gambone. I'm going to stop talking. I'm going to get to a commercial break because I want to bring up my first guest, Jana Beatty, who is the owner of You Are Waco's Makeover Center. We'll be right back after this here short break.
Listen to The Legal Eagle and The Coach each Wednesday from noon to 1 p.m. on Tough Talk Radio Network. Leading local and national experts in business will share their keys to success so that our listening audience can be educated and entertained along the way to becoming all they can be. So whether you're new to business or highly experienced, The Legal Eagle and The Coach with hosts David Alterburn and Brian Kaiser is a great radio program for you. For more information, go to LegalEagleAndTheCoachRadio.com.
Okay, I'm back. I know I always play more commercials than one, but I'm excited this morning. I want to get Jana Beatty up on the show, and I want to talk to her about what's going on in her neck of the woods in Texas here and how it is that she could help others, like ourselves, improve the way we communicate from the first second we start to communicate. And there's a lot to that, right? So, Jana, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much. And you know what? I don't care what quarter it is. Every single day is a day of opportunity. Not only is it a day of opportunity, this is a day of unlimited opportunity. I'm an image consultant. I talk to people about looking like what you want to accomplish. It's just that simple. You match and mirror. Do you look like that entrepreneur you're trying to be? What does success look like to you? Today, I'm going to introduce a concept to you. If I talked about a fireman, they have a certain uniform. If I talked about a school teacher, you can conjure a certain image. And if I talk about a baker, anybody here except me, think of that big white hat. Come on, Tony. These people who are your loyal listeners are entrepreneurs. And today, I want to talk to every single one of them about being a baker. Why? Because economy is not limited. Economy is ever expanding, ever growing. Last night I was watching this great country estate home that had been in the family for 500 years in England. And you know what? Those very wealthy people back there weren't living as well as I'm living today. I can push a button and become cooler or hotter. In Texas, we know that's important. So instead of having what I call a pie mentality, it's very important that we realize our power as entrepreneurs. I'm a third generation entrepreneur, and the important concept is that we are not talking about slicing the pie in X number of pieces. I want this much of the pie, a sixth or an eighth or whatever. No, that's not what being an entrepreneur about. Being an entrepreneur is about baking an entirely new pie. That's why we're unlimited. What is available to us that others don't see? What is available to us that's never before been available to anyone else? We get to ask the questions and look at things in a different way. And it doesn't matter what quarter it is. It doesn't matter what our history is. I love, Tony, when you were talking about people doing the actual work. My husband used to sell franchises for business coaching, basically, before there was business coaching. It was about a $20,000 package, as I recall. And one of the things I observed about people, they had this dream of being their own employee. You know, they didn't want to work so long. They wanted to make more money. They knew what they wanted out of the business, but they didn't know how to build a business. And so many times, I saw people who came with their dream, but they weren't willing to do the work. They just weren't willing to do the work. And that was fascinating to me, that they would work harder for the man than they would work for themselves. So I loved what you said this morning. I think that helped us get really, really clear about some of those goals and our purpose as an entrepreneur and how we individually define success. You know, we live in America, and it's easy to define success by money. But you know what? I found money to be the easy part. I love marketing, and I did it just for the sake of marketing because it was so much fun as I built my business. But I thought money was the easy part because I never spent a dollar that I didn't track to see if it was worth it or not. And if you do an endeavor, if you take action and you track that money and then you do a different action or marketing tool, the one that makes the tallest pile is the one that's going to make you the most money. So I found also that people in business, when I got my started my business, this was a magnificent company in America. It's not the best company that we know about. It's the best known. That just is the American way. And I found that the people in the company that I was with, Color One Associates, were the absolute best trained. The system, I knew a lot because I'd failed in another business before because I hadn't done my homework. I knew a lot about all the color systems when I went with Color One. But the most interesting thing was that the number two product was in number 15th compared to what we were doing. But it wasn't the most successful. Why? Because they had the best trained people, but the people didn't know how to sell. And as a management expert, I could see solutions to this that the owners of the company didn't see. It was very interesting. And never overlook the fact that someone as an outsider may give you insight and awareness of what you're doing, that even someone who is in your own would-be shoes, someone you wish you could emulate, sometimes they don't see opportunities that someone completely from the outside see. And so what I found when I worked with some of these people is there was a huge difference between income-producing activity versus building a business. And it was easy to trick myself. I liked when you said, Tony, about the 15 minutes of phone calls. You know, that cold calling, yuck. But I could see when the people could get very busy in building their business, making a good-looking logo or printing stationery or going to lunch to network. All of those things are important, but that wasn't income-producing activity. It was residual income eventually, and that was kind of interesting to me. And then I also realized that it was so easy to get more profit out of an existing client than it was to find a whole new client. So when I looked at what I really was offering and saw my business as a profit generator, it was easier to take them through the steps of my existing business, have a better relationship with them, serve them at a deeper level, and naturally they were so loyal to me that as my business grew, they were there to support me in all of my endeavors. And I'm just forever grateful for that. I'll never forget, I was at a cocktail party, and the Grand Dame of Waco Society, who is a magnificent woman who does so much for so others, was there. And I'm honored to know her. She introduced me to her highly successful husband, who had his background in banking and finance. And so, just like everybody else, what I was doing was new as a color consultant. No one had done this before. And I thought he was going to be impressed when she introduced me. But he looked at me, and he had this quizzical fix on his brow. And I'll never forget the most important question of my business life. He said to me, "Well, that's fine. What's your revolving door?" You see, he knew before I did that if I found a client and they came, and then I found a client and they came, and I found a client and they came, I was in the business of forever finding clients. So he made me so acutely aware that I was able to build a revolving door in my business with a product that's a consumable. He's no longer with this. He doesn't walk on this earth, but I'm telling you, I still share his good news with people because I think it makes a huge, huge difference. And I also see people who are entrepreneurs feeling that they don't have assets sometimes that are needed. And so I think we have to think of assets in a different way. We're obviously more creative than the average person, We're more adventurous. We're more willing to take risks. And we're smarter at calculating what is a good risk because we've probably made some that weren't. And so that's also to our advantage. For example, regardless of what type of business you're in, with the world economy the way it is, and specifically the unemployment in the United States, does every other entrepreneur in the room besides me realize that's a gold mine? There are people who are between the ages of 55 to 65 that have had huge age discrimination. Maybe even some of you are entrepreneurs that have found yourself in that position. Well, those people, Tony and I were talking before the show, weren't we, Tony, about how we view clothing different than someone who's our age? So maybe
yes.
We have different values than someone who is younger. Well, gosh, what an asset is that to get someone who is actually age 55 to 65, shares values that are based on trust and tradition and aren't a surprise. There's real value there for us when we see those people as assets. So all of those things are exciting things that I see as an entrepreneur, and all of this can transfer to our visual appearance, which is my area of expertise. I'm an image consultant. An image consultant can help you get more of anything you want in life by working with your visual appearance.
So,
but
Jenna, I want to interrupt you a second here, and because time really goes faster, and there's so much information that you provide. I want to just make sure to mention a couple things, and I have some questions for you. Okay, the letter Q, stylethebook.com, is the website to go to, okay,
quintessential style.
Yes. Wow. Cultivate and communicate your signature look. I want to talk to you about a couple things, and I want to make sure that people go. You can find this book on Amazon, Barnes & Noble. It's an awesome book. And I know the guys out there are saying, well, you know, this is probably not for me. It is for you because I run networking groups in the state of Texas, and one of the things that I recognize is how people show up to a networking event that's going to either be for breakfast or lunch. It's going to help grow their business. It's going to help them build a relationship. And a lot of people, because, you know, you go back to the old school method of the first thing they do when you apply for a job is they look down at your shoes to see if they're polished, to see if you take care of yourself. So when you show up and it looks like you've been taking a nap in the car in your clothes, or maybe you drove 18 hours to get here and didn't change, guys, I'm talking to you because, you know, a lot of times we get out of the house without our wives looking at us. So, you know, it's complicated. But it really is important for people to understand that the way that they show up is the way they receive. Before they even open their mouth, okay, to spread the good things that they do, people automatically, subconsciously make this opinion by the way you appear. How do you find people, when people come to you, how do you explain to them that what they're wearing might not be as flattering to maybe the way they're trying to appear, maybe their figure? You know, I mentioned before the show that guys now wear $150 jeans, which are more costly than a pair of dress pants. You can buy a suit for $150 in some stores, and they wear a nice $60 button up, so they got a $200 outfit on. They don't tuck the shirt in. That's in style. I mean, how do you know what's a fit for you, or do you?
There is a nonverbal language that is clothing. Nonverbal language is 75 to 95 of the message we convey. That means how we look and what we say. People believe how we look instead of what we say if they are not in harmony. So there is a specific language of clothes, and you can actually engineer that for the results that you want. But the bottom line is truthfully, there have been studies done where they send out dummy resumes with pictures of applicants. They did a makeover on the pictures, the people in the pictures, shuffled the deck, put them back on the same resumes, and sent them out. And they were actually invited to interview for job positions that reflected a 7 to 12% increase in earning potential. So that's a bottom line issue. I mean, that does prove that how we look is based to the is based on the bottom line. There is a correlation, a direct correlation in those things.
Yes.
If someone didn't look good and I told them, I went to a corporation, it was very important, it was a high impact sales company. And there was one gentleman in the company that wasn't dressing appropriately, and they hired me to come in and train the entire company instead of pointing a finger at this guy. When I was in his closet, fortunately, he got a phone call, and I grabbed his ties, and I started throwing them on the floor in two piles, just ripping them off as fast as I could and throwing them on the floor. And he walked back in the room, and he was dumbfounded. What had I done, throwing his ties on the floor? And I said to him, which of these two people earns the most money? And he picked the more executive pile of ties. I said, which of these two people is most highly educated? Which of these two people is most successful? And you see, he didn't know what I was there to teach him, but he did know the language of clothes. This is something that occurs at a subconscious level, and that's why all of us participate on some level. So these are real things that we can engineer. Social scientists have done studies, and we put on the qualities and characteristics of the clothing that we put on. And people are even perceived as being more altruistic when they're dressed a certain way. That isn't true. People who have a lower income are bigger per capita givers in our country. So it really does reflect, and we really can send a message. It's very important. So darker colors are going to have more authority than lighter colors. If you are putting on those jeans and you do want to have more authority, instead of doing a light wash or a distressed or I can't think of the word, the fabric, chambray look, you're going to go with a denim. A darker jean will give you more authority. Something that is pressed instead of something that is real fashion forward with distressed and holes is going to make you look more businesslike because it's more tailored and traditional. So it's not that you have to point this out to people. When you really are working for someone, people know who they are innately. We all come with gifts and qualities and characteristics. And when you reflect who you truly are in your core being, that is very empowering. And people respond to that. They see these things in you as being in alignment, and they want part of it. It just is that it factor that everyone's talking about. So it really does serve us well to know what these messages are and to utilize them effectively. I liked your comment, Tony, because it's important for each of us to know, if I went to an event, where is my personal comfort zone? We have to ask these questions. Am I a person who's more comfortable being overdressed than underdressed? Even without asking you that question from things you've told me, because of how you perceive clothing and because of what you know about clothing, you would rather be overdressed than underdressed. It's more of your comfort zone. Am I correct?
Yes, exactly.
So that's all part of knowing where we go with this. So there's the two factors. There's the perception, and then there's our own personal feelings. And I always go with people's feelings 100% of the time. There's just great nonverbal information out there that's speaking. So like Tony said, our backs are billboard, and people know our message before we even utter a word. So it's really important to engage others in a way that's going to be to our best benefit.
Okay, so I have a Facebook message here, and a gentleman wants to know, for those who are strapped for cash, is there any place to go for cheap or used business clothes? Something that would not make it look like they were shopping in a used clothing store.
Yeah, I think the bottom line on that is tailoring. And so it's very important to have things impeccably tailored. And before you go to a secondhand, there's some good secondhand clothing stores, especially in upscaled urban cities. I'm not sure one in Houston. I'm not sure if he's in the Houston area, but in Dallas there's a really good famous one. But what is important, before you go, learn the hallmarks of quality. So go to the most expensive clothing store in your area. It doesn't cost anything to try clothes on. Put on very expensive clothing and feel the difference in the fabrics. Notice how they drape. When that, if it is a suit, when it sits over your shoulders, is it just kind of like a natural saddle? And once you find out what these hallmarks of quality are, then you can shop in the cheapest place, even if it isn't resale. Like one of the big box stores has a line by Phyllis George that focuses on traditional clothing. And so you can get dress shirts and suits at lower price points. But you're right. It might be, in some cases, you might be able to get a higher quality at a better price, the dollar-wise, by doing something in resale. But be sure and spend your money on tailoring. Even if you don't spend the money on the garment, spend your money on tailoring, because it's that little attention to detail. When Tony mentioned shiny shoes, that's that attention to detail that's going to make a difference, because we're not shopping price. Clothes are less expensive than they've ever been because of the global market, but we want to get higher and higher quality of things.
Well, Jenna, we're over the time limit. As we, you and I could talk for 3 days. There's just so much information. I want to make sure that everyone gets to your website. And by the way, that inbox on Facebook was from a college student here in the Houston area. So, and I think that that's important for a college student or anyone that's starting out in a business. You want to appear properly, and if you look down and you're not really sure and you go to a secondhand store, I don't see a problem with that. Or maybe someone gave you a hand-me-down. If you go to your local cleaners, usually they have a tailor there, or you go to a thing, it's not very expensive to get your suit tailored. So that's great advice, so that it looks like you actually bought the suit instead of borrowed the suit. So good answer. The website, Q, the letter Q, stylethebook.com, is where you can find all the information about Jenna Beatty. And your book is available in a lot of places. Just type in Quintessential Style. And the book, you co-wrote the book with a lady by the name of Sharon White. I want to make sure to give Sharon a shout as well. And you guys are you in Waco, Texas?
In the heart of Texas, yes.
In the heart of Texas. There you go. So do you go out and do events? Do you go and do makeovers? If people are in your area, how can they connect with you to do that? If they're not in their area, are you doing anything virtually?
Yes, we always are offering something fun and interesting, and I'm always available to answer people's questions. So if they go to qstylethebook.com, that'll have all of my contact information, and I'm happy to be of service.
Well, we're always excited. I'm telling you, and I just put this on your website as a reply, that whenever I talk to you, I am motivated to move to the next level. You're just full of energy, positive stuff. Really, really enjoy having you on the show. And I want to know, and I think I might have asked this before, but when's the next book coming out?
Well, first I'm going to promote this one. We have found that this book really has legs, and I know that my services change lives, but we're finding out now that the book can change lives also. And wow, what a motivation to wake up to every day. That makes me want to jump out of bed and get started. QStyleTheBook.com. I'm happy to serve.
Perfect. And I am waiting to see you come out writing the book of your story, because all the little things that have taken place in your journey to get you through to where you are today need to be shared so other people will do the same. Jenna, thank you so much for being a guest on the show today, and I look forward to having you back on.
Be a baker.
Be a baker. There you go. I love that. I'm going to be using that. Have a great day, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Tony.
Okay. Folks, we're going to take a commercial break. We're going to come back with my next guest, lady by the name of Lori Burton, and she's from the West Coast. So we just had the heart of Texas on, and now we're going to have California on the line as well. So stay tuned. Fill up the coffee. Get a bottle of water. I hope you're taking notes, and I hope that you'll go to QStyleTheBook.com. Check it out. I mean, everyone needs to make sure that their appearance is proper for what they're trying to do. We'll be right back after this short break.
Lauren Jano is an elite, international certified, high-performance coach, author, and speaker with over 15 years' experience helping clients transform so that they are living bolder, happier, and more successful lives. Through a combination of her world-class coaching program and exclusive assessments, her mission is to get to the crux of your issues quickly and accurately, and then guide you to achieve sustained and higher levels of clarity, joy, energy, connection, influence, and overall performance in every area of your life. To learn more or to contact Lauren, go to laurenjano.com.
Did you know that an estimated 52 million Americans listened to internet radio in the last month, or that weekly internet radio audience has increased 60% over the last year, and that more than 8 in 10 people are online from any location? Tough Talk Radio Network is a company dedicated to providing a platform that allows opportunities for guests, hosts, and sponsors to market themselves through the internet radio media, where they can be heard by millions. To find out how Tough Talk Radio Network can help you, go to toughtalkradionetwork.com.
Okay, welcome back to Workshop Wednesdays. My name is Tony Gambone. I'm the host here every Wednesday from 10:30 to 11:30 Central Standard Time. Hey, folks, you can find out more about all the shows on the Tough Talk Radio Network by going to toughtalkradionetwork.com. We hope that you'll follow us on Facebook. Give us a like. Stop by on Facebook to Tough Talk Radio. Also, you connect with me on Tony Gambone on Facebook, or follow us on Twitter at TTR Network. We're always looking for people to come on and be guests, so check out the website. And if you're interested in hosting your own show, well, I want to talk to you. Reach out to me, Tony at TonyGambone.com, because I have something that I'm doing right now with the host that will, well, might be very helpful to you. So let's have a conversation about that. Make sure to go to QStyleTheBook.com and check out Jana Beatty's book. My next guest is another favorite guest. I tell you, this is like throwback week here, because both of these guests have been on the show before. Lori Burton is an internationally recognized innovator and author who has helped thousands of people improve their ability to communicate effectively, thereby creating more success in business and in their life. Now, you know, we all know that communication is really important, whether it's the job, the wife, the children, or the self. So without wasting any time, I want to bring Lori up to the show. Welcome, Lori. How are you today?
I'm just fine. Thank you. It's pretty warm here, but I'm okay right now in the morning.
Well, very good. And you are in California, right?
Yes, I am.
Yes.
In Los Angeles.
Okay. And is that where you're from originally?
I was born in Hollywood. God forbid.
Well, that's a story in itself, I'm sure.
It certainly is. Yes, I'm an actor. That's where it all comes from, my acting experience, what I teach.
Well, so you have a book called Presenting You.
That's
and
right.
Before we get to the book, I just want people to know a little bit about you. Okay, so you were born in Hollywood. You live in L.A., it sounds like the American dream there, right? If you own a television, that's where everybody thinks they should be. Tell me about how you got to where you are today. Give me a little bit of that journey that made you decide to write the book Presenting You, and what are the things that came along that, you know, speak, present, and communicate, it's so much ignored. If you look at social media, or maybe even the news, I don't know. What do you think of the Donald Trump speak, present, and communicate process? But tell me how you got to where you are.
I was born into a show business family and always wanted to sing and dance and act, and grew up doing just that. I went to college and did a show there. And out of college, I got a job as a secretary, of all things, at Paramount Studios, which led to my first agent and my first role in a movie with Elvis. And from there, I went on to do a lot of television and commercials and a few motion pictures. And I studied with a man, his name is Eric Morris, a wonderful coach, and in the method acting for about 12 years. So it was interesting listening to your first guest because she worked from the outside in, and my work is all from the inside out. So I've taken my years of as an actor and what I've learned for myself internally and pushed it out, brought it out, and express it now towards the people I work with. Use it in perceiving and getting finding the things in each person that need to be worked on. So I love what I do, and it's so important. As a matter of fact, last month there was a title on Fortune magazine that said, "Humans are underrated." And it's all about working in these areas, empathy and communication, interpersonal communication, and bringing those things. That's what we're so good at as humans. So we've created all the robots, but now we need to turn it back into ourselves and help people present themselves in their most positive way.
Mm. So do you think that over the years, people, I mean, it's a known fact, you know, I always revert back to my father, you know, who was in the generation of World War II, mm-hmm. you know, when the middle class was kind of developed. And now, you know, fast forward to 2015, we live in a different world, a different speed, just a whole bunch of different stuff. It almost seems as though parents don't pay attention to their children unless they're in the phone that they're staring at. But it's hard to even comprehend all that stuff. And we watch reality shows and all these different things. So it is kind of like they're robots without any empathy or heart or anything at all that makes us communicate differently. Do you think that that's going to keep getting worse, or do you think there's a chance for people to start having that kind of a relationship again?
Well, that's what Fortune magazine was talking about. You know, it's like, hey, folks, we're out of control, but a lot of people are saying, let's stop this and really look at and slow down and pay attention to each other and to the world and take a look at how we can improve these skills within ourselves. With the technology as God is, we're so self-involved. If it isn't with our telephone, it's with our television, and there's no interaction. Try to get people together nowadays. Oh my goodness, for a party. It's just there's no time. It's a joke.
On Friday afternoons, my wife and I have a date day every
uh-huh.
Friday, 1 o'clock our time. We just kind of punch out and we go to the movies. Live by the mall where the movie theater is and restaurants and clothing stores and blah, blah, blah. And so we walk around the mall, and it's like, you know, I always think about the show that my kids watch. It's called Zombies. And I'm watching the people walk around the mall, and they don't even look. They're so trained, they can walk almost in a straight line staring at their phone, and then their children are doing the same thing. And it's kind of scary.
It really is. And here's two people. Take two people who go out to dinner. You say not you and your wife, and not that you do it, but if watch people when they're having dinner, they're looking at their phones. They're not talking to each other.
And I'm guilty. I have to remember to put a lot of times I put the phone on vibrate when I go into movies, and when I come out and get home, I look at my phone and go, I had missed calls and I wasn't paying attention to my phone because I put it on vibrate, and it's in my pocket somewhere. So mm-hmm. it's important to do the things that are needed, especially if you're raising children. It's just a tough world we live in. So I don't want to get off track here because that's a whole other show in itself.
It sure is.
The the book Presenting You, okay?
Yes.
Let's talk about that.
I mean, when people have to present themselves, and whether it's sitting at a table, at a luncheon table with your team, or if it's walking onto the stage, the first thing people are going to read is your energetic level. And so you got to come out there with, I call it, you know, even before you've said a word, what are you bringing to the stage? What energetic field are they reading? Because they're going to get it right away. It's like you mentioned that before with your other guest. And it's so important. And then the first words you say have to be filled with the energy and the emotions behind the words. And, of course, you have to be able to deal with the tension if you're feeling any of that when you walk out there. So there's that combination of animation and energy and enthusiasm and emotions that really are make up how you come across. And that's what I teach people to do. Most people are very kind of laid back and not really expressing themselves with passion. Where do your passions lie? What are you passionate about?
Right. Right.
Yeah.
So when I talk about a lot about networking groups, I run networking groups, and business owners are always, you know, mostly concerned about, I don't know where they read this in what networking manual, that they have to hand out a certain amount of business cards or their networking process was not complete. And a lot of times, you know, I'm either leading the group or speaking at the group, and a lot of times I like to sit down and tell stories, and stories that are true stories about situations that I've been in or have experienced. So when communicating with people, if you're willing to be open about who you are and what you've been through, I find it a easier way to build a relationship. A lot of people come in and they say, well, I'm an introvert. Okay, what are you doing here? What is the purpose that you're here? I mean, really, and it's legit. A lot of people are shy or introvert or whatever
right.
it is, okay? I'm not, but I still get nervous when I have to do things sometimes. So the thing of it is going into a situation like that, you should have some type of a plan on how you're going to present yourself to the group of either friends, relatives, mm-hmm. strangers, mm-hmm. prospects, all those different things. Or, you know, maybe you're walking into a classroom for continuing, you know, later on you're getting education. You're going to walk into a room full of college students, and maybe have children that are college student age.
Mm-hmm.
You have to know how you're going to present yourself if you want to be perceived properly. And I think a lot of times the people don't care or stop and think about how they're going to show up. They
right.
would rather get to the end result of creating a reason why they can't complete that.
Yeah.
So do you think that not knowing how you're going to present yourself could keep you from being successful or give you better excuses for not being successful?
Well, yeah, that's the huge, absolutely. People don't want to take responsibility for it. It just feels it's too much, and this just let me get through the day. That's a lot of what's going on, you know. But I tell people, look, you want to change your behavior. You got to go. You got to climb up that tree and go out to the edge of the limb and be ready to fall off. But then get back up and climb up again. To inspire people to want to do that, and a lot of people really do. They just are afraid and fearful of the process, and it's not that bad. It's one step at a time, and learning skills that can take you to that moment when you walk into the room. And you are your best calling card. Forget the card. You are the card. Your name is who you are, and people have a tough time even with that. They walk in, they say, hi, I'm Lori Burton, and I'm here to see you. Are you sure? Everybody speaks in question marks nowadays. Have you noticed that?
I teach people, you know, when we do a networking function, there's 30 to 40 people in a room, and we go around the room, we give everybody either 30 minutes or 30 seconds or 60 seconds to do an elevator pitch.
Yes.
And, you know, I'm like, boy, I wonder if they really thought they were going to be asked this question or not. Do they really even know what they do? So one of the things I tell people is just stand up and tell people who you are and let it go. Just let that go.
Yeah.
Don't tell them, you know, anything else. You know, my name is Tony Gambone. I'm the founder of Tough Talk Network, and I'm just excited to be here today. I would love to meet every one of you. Done. Sit down. You can't make a mistake there.
No.
So I have a question on Facebook here. It's they're wanting to know if there's any rules or tips if you're communicating in an auditory medium, such as a phone call or a radio show.
Oh yeah, it's that energy, because if I talk like this on the phone to you, people are going to tune out right away. So I've got to bring my energy up into my voice and out my face, even though I'm on the phone. I've got to be animating and pushing that energy out towards it. I use something called the imaginary line. Whether you're on a telephone or if you're standing in front of an audience or it's one-on-one, there's a line that separates you from your audience. Now, when you're on the phone, the line goes out into infinity. When you're in front of an audience, they're right in front of you. So you have to make sure that you cross the imaginary line with your energy. Hi, how are you? I'm Lori Burton. I'm so happy to be here today. And it's something that has to be worked on and has to be taking place moment to moment, and your awareness of that is really important. That's one of the most important things is energy, especially on the phone. You can't sell a product like, hello, I'm here, I'm Lori Burton, I'm selling some seminars we're doing today and wanted to know how are you, rather than, hi, I'm Lori Burton, we're selling some seminars. What a difference. So you really have to look at work at it and know where that comes from, your passions. What are you passionate about? And one of the exercises we do all the time in seminars is give me a list of 10 things you're passionate about. Well, people get to about 3 and they're dead. They're done. That's it. Can't think of any more. So knowing, and your passions are fed by your senses. You look out the window and you go, oh, it's so beautiful. I'm passionate about that. So expressing that is on that level is new for a lot of people. But it's, come on, we're in this life. What are you passionate about? You're just going to go through it as a lump? You got to be passionate. You got to be ready to let the world know what you're all about.
I love the way you describe things, because maybe we went to different schools and learned the same course. A lot of people do show up as a lump. And there's no easier way to understand that, okay? And it's just sometimes the way it is. So maybe, you know, when I teach people how to host a radio show or how to be a guest on a radio show, a lot of times it's very important for them to understand that if you're not energetic, no one's going to listen.
Yeah.
So sometimes it's really important to stand up when you're talking. And a lot of times,
standing up the whole time. Go ahead.
When people have a phone call, you see them get up from their chair and they start taking a walk as they're talking on the phone. I can't think standing still. It's just a problem I have. But so a lot of times when you're in a networking setting or you get to go up in front of a group of people, when you stand up, that means the light's on you.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you think about people, you know, what's your opinion on people at home in front of a mirror practicing the different ways to present themselves? Because, look, if you're shy or you're not sure, you have to practice, right? And it's a lot of people, when I tell them to do that, they don't like the way they look. So I tell them this short story about, you know, when video emails first came out 4 or 5 years ago, I was trying to create a video email. And my wife said to me, what are you doing? And I told her, and I said, I can't get it right. So she watched and she said, what's wrong with us? I don't like the way I look. She said, well, that's the way you look. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
So I had to get over the what I was trying to look like and just to concentrate on what I was trying to present. So when people look in the mirror and they try to practice, they get discouraged because they don't like the way they look. I don't know who they think
mm-hmm.
they're supposed to look like or who I thought I was supposed to look like, but it is what it is. The fact
right.
is, do you think it's important to practice standing up, presenting like you would present if the light turned on to you?
Absolutely. I mean, my work is all done in front of a video camera, so people are going to have to deal with that right away. And I recently worked with a woman who was overweight, and you could see that was on her mind. The minute she would walk out on the stage, she'd be messing with the thing that was covering up the. She had a sweater over something else, and she was always worried about the midsection. So that robbed us of who she really is, because her mind is on her weight. So I said to her the next day, I said, okay, let's stand in front of a mirror. What do you love about yourself? Number one, just tell me about your face. So we went through the whole body about what she loved about herself, and people have such a tough time with that. I love my hair. We need to have that out there. Then I go back and I say, okay, what don't you like? Then she said, I hate my weight. I said to her, are you going on a diet then? Were you willing to go on a diet? Not really. I said, okay, then let's make friends with that. If you can't make friends with it, they say, I don't like my nose. Well, would you like to have your nose done, have a nose job? Oh, I can't afford that. Well, then can we make friends with your nose so we could get past, because it's always in the way. It's that first. What are they seeing? They're judging me. They see how big my nose is. So, yeah, we have to make friends with what we don't like. Otherwise, we're stuck in that for the rest of our lives. You can't move past and get into the good parts, the yummy parts about who we are.
Mm. So I know that we're up against the clock always. I just need to do a two-hour show because 1 hour never seems to be enough. But I want to make sure that people really do go out and get the book, Presenting You. I want to ask you, because for some reason I thought you wrote another. Did you write is there more than one book that you've written?
No, it's just this one, Presenting You.
Okay, so maybe I'm thinking you should write another book too. I don't
know.
I'm
over. Yes, I definitely am writing another book.
Okay, so I want to make sure they go to LoriBurtonTraining.com, and I've already signed up myself and, you know, for free video tips. But for the people that refuse to pull their car over the side of the road and go to your website on their smartphone and sign up now, can you tell me something, if we're in the last quarter, coming up in the last quarter of the year, what tip can you give for people? Now, I know you train, you know, and work with speakers and stuff, but everyone is a speaker. I don't care what you think. When you say you're the back of the room kind of person, you're still speaking to someone when you're telling that. So communication with confidence and, you know, all that stuff. Can you give them a tip that they can take with them this year and also tell them how they can sign up for you know, I know you have assessment calls and group workshops. Can you give them all that information before we run out of time?
Sure. Let me just tell you, it's Lori, is LauriE, BurtonTraining.com. And that the book can be bought, purchased through Amazon. And so the tip is to go in and take the chances. Be brave. Go out there and risk not succeeding, because I guarantee you will succeed. But come on, you got to learn these things. We went to school to learn all these multiplication tables and everything we had to do in school and history. You got to take time for yourself. and be brave and start to ask people about, hey, how you doing? And put some energy behind it. Go out there and push. Take one step a day to say something to people if you're that shy and afraid of speaking. Just one word to somebody. And then a little more the next week after that. People need to just encourage themselves to take one little step, and then that will lead to lots of great steps. But come on, the world, you're robbing the world of who you are.
Okay, so we are out of time. And I do apologize. I'm going to have you back on the show. I just want to make sure to say thank you very much for spending time with us today, and I'm going to be reaching out to find out how I can help you promote more of what you're doing. I just think it's awesome.
Oh, thank you so much, Tony. It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
All right. Well, folks, we are up against the clock. No time for a recap. Actually, I'm over the clock, so I'm going to push the button. Wish everyone a safe and blessed week, and I hope to see you next Wednesday, 10:30, 11:30 Central Standard Time. Have a good time.
This has been another edition of Workshop Wednesdays, brought to you by the Tough Talk Radio Network. A special thanks to all of our sponsors. If you'd like to be a sponsor or a guest, please go to toughtalkradionetwork.com.